hb.org. Thanks so much. Stay tuned for Through the Eyes of Women.
A song can hold you up when there seems to be no ground beneath you. Those are the words describing vocal activist Melanie DeMoor. She uses the rich tones of her voice to soothe, to heal, and to unify. I'm your host, Lorna Bryant. Coming up next, Melanie DeMoor on Through the Eyes of Women. Welcome to Through the Eyes of Women, a program featuring the lives and perspectives of women, local, national, and international. On the phone with me today is Melanie DeMoor. She is a vocal activist, and I found a great quote that epitomizes who Melanie is. Life for Melanie DeMoor is for the seeking and sharing of light, joy, and deep love for what moves you. If you haven't heard her yet, rest assured that this is only one woman on this planet whose voice is as deep, resonant, mesmerizing, comforting, and downright jaw-dropping in its power and sensuality as hers is. Melanie, welcome.
Well, thank you. What an introduction. Wow.
Well, I have heard you in person a few times. You do definitely share light and joy and a deep love for what moves you and what moves others. And there's one word that's missing from that, actually. Healing.
Oh.
You do offer healing in your voice. And you do that as a vocal activist. Tell me about your beginnings in activism, vocally and otherwise.
Well, for me, it's not like now I'm going to be an activist, which really means really being consciously awake and active in your work and whatever it is that you're doing, and realizing that, you know, in order to be an activist, that you have to be willing to act through your heart and act on behalf of others as well. So it's not something that's really very complicated. So you use the gifts that you've been given in the place where you are, and so that's how you become, for me, an activist. And I use my voice as a, I came up with this great thing, my students love this, I use my voice as a weapon of mass connection.
Hmm, that's beautiful, and you do. You know, someone said to me last night that the term activism is a relatively new term, and in other parts of the world, the word activism isn't used. Instead, the word is solidarity. Music is definitely a unifying force, and you do it beautifully. Describe what you do musically.
Well, I mean, I use my voice in a lot of different ways, and primarily, especially these days, I like to make a space for people to be able to come together to just raise their voice. And folks say, well, what do I need to do? You know, I don't sing, or I don't do this. And I said, look, if you breathe in, step one. Step two, you just have to be willing to be there. You just have to be willing to be there and be present. That's all you have to do. If you come and just be willing to be in the room with other people and to just throw your head back and sing, that's all you got to do. It's really nothing more than that. And we need those opportunities to come together. And in the African-American tradition, of course, we come together and we not only do we sing about joyful things, but we also gather together and we mourn together. You don't necessarily have to know each individual person's story, but it allows you to come together as a group and to be held within that group palm, if you will, the group palm of the hand, while you go through what you are going through. And we do it together as a community so that you're not grieving in isolation, but you're expressing that in community. And that's one of the things that's so incredible about coming together to sing. Whatever your story is, it don't matter. Just come on, raise your voice. We'll hold you and your story right there, and we got you.
Absolutely. Not only do you use your voice, but I have seen you in gatherings where you use sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, that's from Gullah South Sea Islands of the United States, so that's a particular tradition that comes out of those islands, which are around Georgia and South Carolina and Florida. And I'm probably the only person that does these massive pieces that I've written, because in a tradition, it's usually one or two people that pound. And it's a particular rhythm that has its origins in West Africa and was kept alive and viable on these islands because the folks were stolen from around West Africa, particularly around Sierra Leone. and all these islands, their main cash crops were rice and indigo, and the folks were stolen for their expertise because they knew how to grow rice. And so because they were separated from the mainland, they kept a lot of their African tradition. So Gullah spirituals, it has the particular rhythm and the stick pounding, sounds really different than mainland spirituals that we all know. And so the stick and that rhythm is particular to that tradition.
And I guess it would be difficult, or is it possible for you to demonstrate that now over the telephone?
I can demonstrate the rhythm. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but it's the rhythm is this. Can you hear this?
Yes.
Well, that's the rhythm, but you have to imagine that it's wood on wood.
Okay.
It's pounded on wood because all the houses and the slave quarters were up on stilts on these islands because, after all, they were islands. And they were prone to flooding. And so, as, you know, the drums were taken away from the enslaved people, you know, folks, we are smart. We make a way out of no way. So they would take broom handles and hoe handles and pound it on the floor and turn the whole place into a drum.
And I gather, using wood on wood, there's a certain resonance or richness in the sound that you get from that.
Absolutely.
No matter how large or small the room is.
Right. And if you have that, and so I've written pieces. I wrote a piece that called Freedom Land and another one called Sanctuary that has 250 people pounding together.
Wow. In what space would you have 250 people together?
Well, I did a residency, too. I've done this actually with different choirs throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I just finished premiering Sanctuary with Vocal Essence, which is a choral organization in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities there, and also with Vocal Essence with two high schools and two middle schools, did a big giant piece that I wrote called Sanctuary, and it was about the Underground Railroad and the whole concept of sanctuary and how viable and how important it is today in the world that we live in, and how the concepts of the Underground Railroad are alive and well at this time in our history.
And you have been in our region several times. Most recently, I recall you unified young children through the Boys and Girls Club of the Redwoods, Indigenous children, and also police officers and police academy cadets.
This was quite an experience, and actually this has never been done anywhere in the country. It was the first time. And Elizabeth Smith, who is the executive director of Boys and Girls Club there in the Eureka area, had me come there, and I did this stick pounding workshop. I guess we had about 87 people. And we're talking 30 youth, maybe 18, ages 13 to 17, mostly youth of color, the police chief, all of his police chiefs, and the police cadets. And we pounded together. And it made an equal playing field because none of them knew what was happening. And there was so much irony about it. First of all, what is going on in the country? The fact that you have youth of color in the same room with police officers and who I call toddler cops, people who are learning, coming together to do this thing that neither of them had any idea about, learning together and being willing to be vulnerable in the same place. And I just took them to I talked to them about some very serious things and about community building and about seeing each other as real people, as real human beings. And it was very intense because here we were at this lovely community college in the gymnasium. We have 87 people all pounding. We have cadets, we have police, we have youth of color. And outside is the shooting range for the police academy. So you hear guns going off, and we're inside pounding. Just the irony, and one of the kids said, wow, he said, I hear these guns going off. And I said, when we all pound together and we're consciously in the same space, I guarantee you our rhythm will drown out the sound of those guns. And so this was a very deep thing. It really was. It's such a very deep thing.
It absolutely was. I was there. I remember seeing children who were initially, or youth, I should say, youth who were initially reluctant to participate, and then they didn't want to stop. And they were able to make their own pounding sticks. So
Yeah, because we sent them home with them so they could make their own. And it was a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And, my hope was that they could make these rhythms together and just maybe, you know, before you start jumping all over each other, just take a little space.
I recall the very first time you were in our region, it was for another type of healing. It was July 2015 on the heels of the Charleston, South Carolina mass murder. That was called Lifted in Love. Tell me a bit about that. It was a beautiful experience.
You know, sometimes when these horrible, tragic things that happen in our world, I think it's really important that we come together when these things happen and realize that just because maybe it happened two or three states over or whatever it is, that we collectively as a family, as a country, need to come together and hold each other. Again, it comes back to that, acknowledging the fact that, yeah, these things are going on, and yeah, these things can happen in our own community, and how can we as a community come together to help make sure that this doesn't happen? Because one of the things that I was so impressed by when I came to that first time was that the police chief was there. And his wife both came to the community thing. And that is not usual, I just got to tell you. That really, to me, it spoke to ways in which the communities and different factions can come together. And all he did was come there to just sing with everybody else. That's it. There was no other agenda. And that was so beautiful. That he was there and all kinds of folks were there to come together, to sing in community and to go, man, this is crazy, and to be together in that. So that to me was a wonderful thing, for just folks to come together and say, wow, this hurts me. And that was one of the things that I said when I was with the police, you know, that I may not be in exact proximity, but it hurts me when that happens. So that was one of the things that was really so fine to me. I thought, man, this community, if the police are doing this kind of stuff and the chief is standing there mirroring for people how they should be in community, I thought, you know, that bodes well for your community.
Absolutely. And the Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills, along with the Arcata Police Chief Tom Chapman, the University Police Chief Don Peterson, all marched together on Martin Luther King Day. So we do have a pretty unifying community, and it has become unified since November 8th, I should say. Things have happened, and a momentum has been activated, so to speak, for unity and togetherness. You, in fact, wrote a song on the day after the election called Lead with Love. I understand it's also a hashtag movement. Tell me about the song and your motivation to write that song.
Well, the song came to me the day after the election. I was doing the fourth installment of my residency with Vocal Essence in the Twin Cities. And part of that was working with these two middle schools and two high schools and the professional choir and the family choir and all that stuff. So the day after the election, I'm going to do a rehearsal at one of the middle schools. A couple of kids stopped me before we go into the choir room, young African-American kids, and they looked at me just terrified and said, does this mean we're going to be slaves again?
Oh.
And I thought, okay, I said, we need to talk. And so I talked to them about, first of all, you need to know that there are more people with you than against you, because to them it felt like anybody that didn't look like them was going to hurt them.
Right.
Because that seemed what the rhetoric seemed like to them. And so I said, first of all, I said, let's talk about the Electoral College. Let's talk about the gutting of the Voting Rights Act in 2013 so that you know how things have been set up and the fact that, you know, you need to realize that the person who won the election did not win the popular vote, which means that there are more people with you than against you, and how things were set up and all of that. And I said, I guarantee you that you are not alone in this. And I said to them, and they would have to come through me to get to you. And you need to know there are a lot of people like that. And I said, and we can't be walking around being scared and fearful and turning into the very people that we become fearful and scared of.
Right.
I said, so, you know, I said, when you think about all the great movements in this country and in the world, you think about, and the people who led these movements, you think about Malcolm X, Martin King, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Cesar Chavez, all of these people began and led their movements out of the love for their people, not out of the hatred of somebody else. And that's the thing that's really different. So if your movement begins and comes out of a place of fear of difference and fear of other, fear of losing something, that is not the march that you want to be walking in. And so that song, Put One Foot in Front of the Other and Lead with Love, that's how it came out.
Well, can you sing a few lines of the song?
Sure. And, you know, it's when I come there, we will definitely sing it. Those, you got to put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Don't give up hope. You're not alone. Don't you give up. Keep moving on. You got to put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. That's basically how it goes. It's a call and response. And that song, when they have the big worldwide women's march across the planet, that song went viral. And folks were singing it all over the place.
Wow.
With the verses and the call and response, the idea behind it is that whoever is there in the room or in the space can lay claim to that song immediately. All you have to do is just open your mouth and sing, and you become part of the power of that song. And that was my whole purpose of it, so that you don't have to actually learn it. You just get to sing it almost immediately.
And it is, in fact, a charge. Definitely. If you're just tuning in, this is Through the Eyes of Women. I'm your host, Lorna Bryant, speaking with Bay Area vocal activist Melanie DeMore. With the Lead with Love, it's something that, as you said, you will bring here to Humboldt State University on April 1st. The poster for this event says, "Now in these times when we need it most, comes a moving, healing, powerful performer to help unite our community."
Ooh, boy.
That's a tall feat, but since I have seen you and I have met you, I know you are the right person to do just that.
Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to being in your community again, because the times I've been there, just really kind, caring people, and people who are consciously working to make a stronger community. And I really, really appreciate that. We need that now, really, more than ever.
Yes. And, you know, what you do with your voice, you cradle people and you hug people and you love people with your voice. You've even used your voice to soothe the weary soul about to transition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about how you assist in one's journey for the transitioning person and for their loved ones. How have you done that?
Well, I've been... Actually, the first time I sang for the first funeral that I ever sang was my mother's.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 19. I wrote a song and sang it at her funeral. And so for a long time, I've done singing and music for transition. But I've been working over the last few years with an organization called the Threshold Choirs that was founded by this amazing woman named Kate Munger, who lives here in Inverness, near Point Reyes. And she started the Threshold Choir, I think, 17 years ago, maybe. And it's not exclusively, but it's primarily women. And there are over 140 Threshold Choirs throughout the United States now, in Canada, in Europe. There's one in Australia, New Zealand, they're all over. And what it is, if you call members of the Threshold Choir, and if you need somebody to come to the house, the hospital, the hospice, they'll come. And they'll sing for your loved ones in twos and threes, cost you nothing. If you need somebody to come every day for 6 months, somebody will come.
Wow.
And so some of my music they use for Threshold Sending You Light, of course, is one of those songs that most Threshold Choirs learn. It's one of the first songs in them that they learned is that song, Who Knew? So yeah, I've sung at many, many bedsides. I sang for my little sister who passed away in 2009. I sat up with her for 5 nights and 6 days and sang to her until she took her last breath. It was one of the most extraordinary experiences that I've ever had among women.
To have you be cradled into the next realm in song is quite a beautiful way to go.
Yeah, well, and it's the whole idea of making a space for whatever that person and their family needs to do. The songs are non-denominational, very unintrusive. It's like we provide a space for the person who is in transition and their families to do whatever it is that they need to do.
It's not just for the dying, but for the living.
Mm-hmm. Of making connection some way or another. And it's not like any other kind of singing. It's a deeper, 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 deeper kind of listening in the way that you produce the sound and the way that you are connected to what's going on, but that you are detached in a certain way because it's not about you.
Hmm.
It's about whatever their journey is, whatever their whatever path that they need to walk. And we don't dictate that. We just make a space for them to be able to do it however they need to do it.
Wow. And what a beautiful voice in yours to do such a thing. You know, recently I learned about your voice for a special little girl for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, Maya.
Tell me about that special wish.
Maya's dream was to sing in front of a live audience with a live band. And so I was her coach. And when we first met, we met at the Make-A-Wish office in San Francisco because they got to make sure it's the right fit. You know, it's got to be the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this little kid, in sweet family and everything, and she was 5 at the time. The child had had 18 blood transfusions in 13 months.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And this little kid, just bright, beautiful, present, sparkling. And so we listened to her little song because she gets to pick the song. And she picked the song, A Thousand Years, by Christina Perry, who from like the Twilight movie or something. Beautiful song.
Okay.
Very intense for a little 5-year-old kid to sing. And she just sang it so beautifully. And I listened to her, and she played me a couple of songs. And I said, you know, I think this one might be really good. And she looked at me, and she looked at me. And then she came around the table, and she stood next to me. And then she put her head on my shoulder, and her mom said, I guess it's a good fit.
Wow.
Yeah, so. And then the rest was history. I mean, we just had a really wonderful connection with each other. And we actually got to do it twice, which is really rare. They had seen our video of her singing her. We had a big crowd of people in San Francisco. We had posters. We had sort of like a little bit of a red carpet. And she walked in. She wanted to be wearing a golden dress, standing in front of a big yellow castle with her name. She got all of that.
Hmm.
And they saw the video and her singing of it. And then they had the international gathering in Las Vegas or something. And they asked us to come and do it at their international gathering. So we got to do it twice, which is very rare.
Hmm. You know, Melanie, I don't think you made a wish. You made a star.
She was great. And I had her dad play guitar in the band. So he got to be a part of that. And we had strings and bass and piano. And we took her into the studio and into like one of the best studios in San Francisco.
Wow.
She got to make a state-of-the-art recording of her song. And then we made a CD out of it, so she got to sign the CDs and do autographs and all that. The Make-A-Wish Foundation is pretty incredible what they do.
And Melanie, you're pretty incredible as well. You definitely are, and you are a treasure to everyone you touch in song. We look forward to you coming to Humboldt State University on April 1st. On that note, we will end with the song Sending You Light.
I know you like that one.
I love that song. Melanie DeMore, thank you for speaking with me. We'll welcome you back to Humboldt County in April.
Can't wait to see you.
Thank you so much, Melanie.
All right, my dear. Take care of yourself.
I am sending you light to hold you in love. No matter where you go, no matter where you've been, you'll never walk alone. I feel you deep within.
I am sending you light to heal you.
You have been listening to Through the Eyes of Women. I've been your host, Lorna Bryant. I've been speaking with Melanie DeMore about her vocal activism ahead of her visit in Humboldt County. Melanie DeMore will perform at Humboldt State University in the Kate Buchanan Room on April 1st at 7 p.m. For more information, call 826-7107. Through the Eyes of Women is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University. Thanks to today's engineer and editor, Jessica Eden, and to our entire Through the Eyes of Women team. You can listen to this show again at any time at Through the Eyes of Women's blog at khsuwomen.com. Join us again at 1:30 next Monday here on KHSU.
I walk the path with you. Go slow, dear one, don't hurry. I'll go just like you need to go. There is no need to worry.
I am sending you light to heal you.
To make sounds on a horn made of wood and metal. It's just amazing to me.
Young musicians and world music. And
I've always been very interested in, like, what happens on the periphery, what happens in the margins where we may not even have language for it yet.
A Dada Cabaret at Synapsis Nova. I'm Wendy Butler, and that's Art Waves this Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. on KHSU.
Well, that sounds amazing. What a show. What a show. It is 2 o'clock. My name is Mike Tronkers, and you are listening to listener-supported diverse public radio for the north coast of California and the south coast of Oregon. This is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Support for KHSU comes in part from Eureka Car Stereo, offering sales and installation of car audio systems, alarms, iPod, and Bluetooth integration and satellite radio. Eureka Car Stereo is open Monday through Saturday at 15th and Broadway in Eureka. And donors include Slice of Humboldt Pie, offering sweet and savory pies with vegan and gluten-free options, fresh salads, coffee, teas, and more.
Slice of Humboldt Pie is in the Bittersweet building across from the Arcata Co-op. They open every day at 11. They close at 10 Monday through Thursday. Friday and Saturday, they're open till 11. Sunday, they close at 8.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to